This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A kiss is just a kiss. Or is it? Lips locking has been the staple of cinema for decades. Today, on Movies on the Radio, we're going to take a look at your picks for silver screen kisses. The passionate, the delicate, the hesitant, and the unconventional. And joining me, as they always do for Movies on the Radio, are film experts Laura Boys and Marcia Gordon. Laura is the film curator at the North Carolina Museum of Art. Welcome back, Laura.
Thank you so much, Frank.
And Marcia Gordon, film professor at North Carolina State University. Hello, Marcia.
Hello, Frank.
Boy, we had an overwhelming response to this, and it surprised me because I couldn't even think of a compelling kiss, a sort of memorable kiss. But turns out that we had this incredible response. I think, why don't we just go right off the bat? We'll hear from some listeners talking about the memorable and perhaps the most famous kisses in cinema.
My name is Regina Williams. I live in Durham, North Carolina, and my favorite on-screen kiss is from the movie Gone with the Wind, of course. It's the most passionate of all movie screen kisses, I believe. When Rhett tells Scarlett, "You shut me out of your bedroom for the last time," and he grabs her and he kisses her and he sweeps her in his arms and he takes up the stairs, it makes me swoon.
It's not that easy, Scarlett. Turn me out while you chase Ashley Wilkes, while you dreamed of Ashley Wilkes.
This is one night you're not turning me out.
I'm Barbara Fish. I live in Durham. I chose as my most memorable kiss the scene from Here to Eternity with Deborah Carr and Burt Lancaster on the beach, passionately kissing with the waves rolling. And nowadays, it's just amazing to think how scandalous two people in a bathing suit on a beach could have been.
I never knew it could be like this. Nobody ever kissed me the way you do.
Nobody?
No, nobody.
Not even one? Out of all the men you've been kissed by?
Now that it takes, I'm figuring. How many men do you think there have been?
I wouldn't know. Can't you give me a rough estimate?
Not without an adding machine.
My name is Arlene Young. I live in Fayetteville. The name of the movie is Notorious. It's a long love scene. It's known for that, too, I believe. The reason it sticks with me is that it was just a culmination of these two characters who really didn't trust each other and possibly didn't like each other, but at the same time were drawn to each other. And it's long and lovely. You don't want it to end.
It's nice out here. Let's not go out for dinner. Let's stay here.
We have to eat.
What you need here, I'll cook.
I thought you didn't like to cook.
No, I don't like to cook. But I have a chicken in the icebox, and you're eating it.
What about all the washing up after it?
We'll eat it with our fingers.
My name is Marianne Wegner, and I live in Hurdle Mills, North Carolina. When it comes to an actual, lips-to-lips kiss, there was only one that I remembered, and I'm, 69 years old. And that's the scene in Lady and the Tramp when they're at the Italian restaurant.
Hey, Joe! Bucci, he says he wants two spaghetti speciale, heavy on the meatballs.
There's a starry night and all that, and they have this huge plate of spaghetti, and they're looking at the stars and listening to the music, and they both happen to start sucking on the same piece of spaghetti, and they work their way up the spaghetti, and their lips meet, and they're very, they're embarrassed and starstruck, and it's such a story.
Oh, this is the night, it's a beautiful night,
and we call it Bella.
Bella Notte, Gone with the Wind, From Here to Eternity, and Notorious, Lady and the Tramp, Laura Boys. These are the kisses that people remember.
Yes, when I asked my mother what was her most memorable kiss, she, From Here to Eternity, was definitely the one that she remembered. And one of the sort of apocryphal stories is that projectionists used to cut frames out of it for their personal collections. So lots of times they would be running a print and that scene would be very jittery because of all of the removed frames from it.
Well, and the listener mentioned this, that if you haven't seen Notorious, this is, I mean, it's a great film, Alfred Hitchcock. And what I love about Hitchcock is he always combines romance with both darkness and a sense of humor. And this kiss scene is absurd. It goes on and on. And so it has this intense romance between Ingrid Bergman and Cary Grant. And yet at the same time, there is also this kind of comic relief to it as well. Whereas something, of course, like Gone with the Wind or From Here to Eternity, that's like serious, serious romance. And of course, we can't see this here, but some of the kissing, like in Gone with the Wind, it's like this beautiful technicolor backdrop, pink sky and profile and silhouette and all this control and tension between the two characters.
What Hitchcock does in Notorious, though, suggests that the screen kiss had already become an icon so that he could play with it in his own films, right?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the very early films from 1896 is this May Irwin kiss that Thomas Edison filmed in his Black Mariah studio, and the catalog description makes it sound so much like the Notorious kiss, which is about, you know, they kiss and kiss and kiss, and it's, if you look it up on the YouTube and you look up the Edison May Irwin kiss, it's so staged and modest, and yet clearly that fascination with watching people in this intimate moment has been around for a long time.
And in fact, that's one of the reasons that the movies became popular, was the opportunity for both men and women to be able to see these intimate romantic moments on the screen.
One of your favorite screen kisses, Marcia, Philadelphia Story. Let's listen.
Yes, Professor.
It's really all I am to you, is it?
Of course, Professor.
Are you sure?
Why, yes. Yes, of course. Golly. Golly, Moses.
Tracy.
Mr. Connor.
Let me tell you something,
No, don't.
Tracy.
All of a sudden I've got the shakes.
It can't be anything like love, can it?
No, it mustn't be. It can't.
Would it be inconvenient?
Terribly. Anyway, I know it isn't. Oh, Mike, we're out of our minds.
We're right into our hearts.
That old music.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Tracy, you're so
as if my insteps were melting away. What is it? Have I got feet of clay or something?
Tracy.
It's not part of the pool. It's just over the lawn and in the birch grove. It'll be lovely now.
Tracy, you're tremendous.
Put me in your pocket, Mike.
So, yeah, I find this, first off, if you haven't seen Philadelphia Story, please do yourself a favor and just see this movie. This is George Cukor, 1940, Katharine Hepburn, and that you just heard Jimmy Stewart, but also Cary Grant is in it. And one of the reasons I like this is Hepburn is not the actress you think of when you think of great screen kisses. I mean, she was considered box office poison by many, and she seemed cold and intellectual in some ways. And so I like that this is such a romantic moment in the film, even though it does kind of stereotypically turn her into a woman. So there is this kind of duality there in terms of her independence and kind of falling under the spell of Jimmy Stewart.
This was the very first VHS tape I ever bought. it was the movie that I wanted to always have at hand if I needed a reminder of how a great a Hollywood movie can be.
That's a theme for one of our future movies on the radio, first VHS tapes you ever bought.
We may not be able to air all of this.
Back to something you said earlier, Laura, about the fact that this was a sort of pent-up demand, as economists would say, the idea that the kiss would become the thing that could help sell the movies, that this is something men and women wanted to see.
Yes, of course, the kiss is symbolic for things that could not be shown on the screen. So it's a shorthand for all of the delights of romantic love.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, of course, it can be handled in such different ways. I mean, The Lady and the Tramp, which we just heard that excerpt from, it's such an innocent, anthropomorphized moment compared to something like From Here to Eternity, which was just very explicitly erotic and sexual in the water, etc. So, I mean, there is that spectrum, too, of kisses.
At the same time, I was in Rome eating pasta, and the man who owned the restaurant came up with his guitar and sang that song. And it was like, this is like such a perfect moment of reality and movies coming together. Yeah. It just made me really happy.
What about the run-up? I mean, it does seem that the kind of banter that precedes the kiss is kind of critical and sets the tone for the movie as well.
Well, I would say there's two major factors. One is, yes, the banter, because just to watch people kiss on screen, I mean, that's just, it doesn't make narrative sense. It's not that interesting. You can't do it for that long unless you're Andy Warhol. But the other thing is music. I mean, as we listen to these clips, the way that music comes in and tries to kind of carry you emotionally to this place, I think is really key. And then, of course, also with the issue of dialogue, is that also allows you to kind of signify whether you want people to have a more lighthearted relationship to this moment, or whether you want it to be very serious.
Whether it's the culmination of something or the beginning of something.
Or the end.
Or the end. Well, these are all conventional romances that we're talking about, but unconventional romances are also an important part of kisses, particularly the more memorable screen kisses, and they can even be groundbreaking, as they were in Brokeback Mountain.
My name is Randall Keenan, and I'm calling from Hillsboro. The movie is Brokeback Mountain. Gyllenhaal comes to visit Ledger, and Ledger is just so happy to see him, and he rushes out and grabs him and pulls him into the stairwell, and they have a kiss, and his wife happens to see them. It's still rare, 10 years later, to see two men or even two women kissing in a mainstream movie. And it's so much part of the plot, and it communicates so much. And it's also so very tender and moving.
Celebrity caller, by the way, Randall Keenan, the writer from Hillsboro, talking about Brokeback Mountain, a same-sex kiss that actually took Hollywood and the Oscars by storm, I guess.
Yes, although interestingly, in the very first motion picture to win an Oscar, Wings, there was also a same-sex kiss between Buddy Rogers and Richard Arlen at a moment of death. And of course, it's open to many interpretations because masculine friendship was viewed in a different way in a different era. But modern audiences seeing him kiss his dying buddy are always astonished by the intensity of it.
Yeah, and I think the reason Brokeback Mountain was so powerful is, as the caller pointed out, it was a very mainstream film. So to have this in, a mainstream film that was this kind of expression of sexual energy and kind of pent-up feeling. But, 1985, a couple of listeners, I think, mentioned My Beautiful Laundrette, the Stephen Frears film from 20 years prior to that, which was also this groundbreaking moment of male kissing on screen that felt like it was really kind of pushing taboos, even though the film was not as mainstream as Brokeback.
Mm-hmm. 2005, Brokeback Mountain. I mean, if you think about breaking ground that long, well into the industry. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and you think of the interracial kiss on television, Star Trek, mm-hmm. that also broke ground. That was mid-60s, 70s, mm-hmm. somewhere.
Yeah, I guess Who's Coming to Dinner kind of starts 1967. That film, in one of the earliest scenes has Harry Belafonte kissing his white fiancé in the back of a cab, kind of just to get that moment over with in the film.
Sidney Poitier.
What did I say?
Harry Belafonte.
Apologies. Sidney Poitier doing that. And then the whole film is about discussing interracial relationships.
Well, and we've been talking up until now about romantic kisses one way or another, but there are kisses, of course, that don't express romance at all, as in The Godfather.
My name is Bill Mooney from Raleigh, and I chose a kiss from The Godfather 2 when Michael Corleone kisses his brother Fredo to show that he knows that Fredo has betrayed him. And he says, you've broken my heart. I know it was you. You've broken my heart.
You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
And I like it because it's not a romantic kiss. It's more of a Judas kiss, in that what something that would normally be a symbol of affection, in this case, pretends betrayal and possible revenge.
Yeah, those kisses with a twist are sometimes the most interesting and the most memorable. And of course, those Godfather films were so big and so interesting in terms of kind of reflecting on Italian culture and the idea of the family and betrayal. And that is certainly a very, very iconic moment in the film.
Yeah, and you think about it, you know, and again, the power of the kiss. I'm thinking just recently with the passing of Dean Smith, we saw those pictures of Michael Jordan kissing
right.
Dean Smith. These are athletes who are on the court, and this kiss is a power. This is a really powerful symbol in our culture, and the way it's used, sometimes in a kind of countercultural or unexpected context, can really have even greater power.
Absolutely.
As with the Planet of the Apes, let's listen.
This is Nick Speaks. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. When I think of my favorite on-screen kisses, the one that comes to mind foremost for me is probably one of the only bestial kisses in film that I'm aware of, and that would be the kiss between the character of Taylor in Planet of the Apes, played by Charlton Heston, and Vera, the monkey that helps him throughout the film and obviously sort of has the hots for him throughout the whole film. Just one of those weird ones, you know.
Doctor, I'd like to kiss you goodbye.
All right, but you're so damned ugly.
There you go. By the way, not the only bestial. Apparently, Nick had not seen Pink Flamingos when it comes to bestial kisses, but we're talking about Planet of the Apes. So,
Tell me that Charlton Heston in his with his weird shaggy chest hair and his loincloth was not equally sort of.
I know. And Planet of the Apes, such a great this post-apocalyptic film where everything is kind of turned on its head in terms of superiority and inferiority, and it's a film that has so much fun with that idea. And then this is just one of the several great, great moments and great lines of dialogue in the film from, you know, kind of. The repulsion that she feels having to do this for Heston.
Is that a hashtag? It's got to be. You're so damned ugly.
I don't know. If it's not,
it is now.
I'm sure it is now.
And it may have gone viral in this moment. Has the fact that films have come a long way in the last 100 years and more, and that we have become much more explicit and much less prudish about what we expect to see on film, as one listener said, she tried to imagine how provocative it was to see two people on the beach in their swimsuits
right.
back then, of course, not now. So has the kiss lost its power because of that? We expect more? We're not shocked by it?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, I think it remains this very powerful visual symbol. And you know, if you think about it's always an evolution if you look at film history. And when things are forbidden, they get replaced with other things. I mean, during the years of the Hays Code, the kind of iconic moment would be the kiss followed by the cigarettes in the ashtray, you know, for what you cannot show off screen. And so I think that kind of tension between explicitness, I mean, often what is explicit is much less interesting than what is implied. And a kiss is both very explicit and also, is implying something else beyond
well,
it.
Well, also, the more explicit scenes on the screen always have an element of fakery about them. Mm-hmm. Body doubles are used and actors have in their contracts that they will show, you know, part A but not part B. But yet when you see two actors on screen kissing, regardless of what their personal relationship is or what the backstory is, that is a real moment that is happening.
Or when they look into each other's eyes. I guess in It's a Wonderful Life, when Donna Reed kisses Jimmy Stewart and they're looking at each other. I mean, if I can remember one kiss, that's the one I remember. And it has less to do with their lips than their eyes for me.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, I think that the reason you see so much kissing in movies, I mean, it's hard to think of movies where a kiss does not happen, is because it allows a filmmaker to have this moment that's readily, you know, understandable to everyone in terms of the accumulation of whatever the narrative elements are of the film.
On the State of Things Today, Movies on the Radio, Marcia Gordon, film professor at North Carolina State, Laura Boyes, film curator at the North Carolina Museum of Art. More Movies on the Radio just ahead. Please stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Today talking about your most memorable kiss on Movies on the Radio. And kissing, of course, is very much tied to coming-of-age stories. Let's listen.
I'm Stephen Scholes from Raleigh, North Carolina. My choice for most memorable on-screen kiss is from the movie E.T. In this scene, E.T. and Elliot are sharing some sort of psychic bond. Elliot is in his biology classroom when they're about to dissect frogs, and he begins to set them all free, causing chaos to ensue.
Back there, you guys! Back
Meanwhile, back at the house, E.T. is watching a romantic movie with John Wayne and drinking beer. And in a slightly intoxicated state, Elliot, in a scene that mimics what's on the television screen, he stands up on top of a passing student so that he can give the pretty tall girl a big kiss. It's memorable to me because the scene pays homage to the romantic movies and the idea that E.T. is learning about love at the same time this little boy is kind of learning about it.
And A.O. Scott, in his article in the New York Times, which was kind of the inspiration for this segment, talked about how seeing kissing in the movies might inspire you to try it with a person sitting in the seat next to you, which was some reason for parents to be very wary of what movies they were sending their kids to.
Well, and I think certainly for those kind of teenage coming-of-age films, I mean, for me, I think of things like 16 Candles or Breakfast Club, those kind of iconic moments of... You know, I think as a spectator, as a young child, you're watching someone who is, you know, approximately your age or a little bit older. I could see how that would be the case for even something like E.T., even though it's kind of put onto an alien character, and just that kind of thrill of something forbidden.
Well, and again, homage to the fact of kissing in the movies, and that the industry said not only can we create this thing that you want to see, but we'll give you the place to do it, right? So,
exactly.
So the theater becomes that place. Well, we've got some other sort of coming of age stories around kissing from listeners who responded to our query, and here are just a couple.
My name is Mary Nell Smith. I live in Greensboro. And my all-time favorite movie kiss was from a 1965 movie named Inside Daisy Clover. And Daisy Clover was a very young girl, which is what I was in 1965. Daisy has just been rejected by Robert Redford and is very upset and crying and fainting. And Christopher Plummer scoops her up in his arms. He starts rocking her back and forth like a baby because she's just so upset. And then all of a sudden, he just plants one on her, and it is just breathtakingly sexy.
At least you know all about love. All about love. Just nothing. Lost cause. Just like your husband. Who needs it?
My name is Jesse Gordon. I live in Wake Forest, North Carolina. My most memorable movie kiss is when Squints Palidorus kisses Wendy Peppercorn on the Sandlot. I think this was one of those things for me when I first saw this movie. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and at the time, the thought of that kiss was so gross to me, but it was hilarious because Squints essentially dives into the deep end of the pool knowing that he cannot swim in order to be saved by his darling lover girl, Wendy Peppercorn, who is the lifeguard at the time. And when she pulls him out of the water and begins to give him mouth-to-mouth, he lays it on her after winking to all of his friends around him, letting them know that he knows exactly what he's doing.
Squints! Come on, man! God, he looks like a dead fish.
What? This magic moment.
So little pervert! Oh, man, he's a deep.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Inside Daisy Clover and The Sandlot. I had not really seen either of those two movies, but they sound delightful.
You know, there's this moment in your movie-going history where the kisses that once were gross then become enticing. And I'm not sure that age is different for every person, but it is definitely a moment of transformation.
Well, and I think the kiss that's just described in Inside Daisy Clover, I mean, what sounds magical about that moment to me is this idea of the kiss when you least expect it, right? That transporting moment that, I mean— that happens over and over and over again in the movies, right? So there is something about that idea of whether it's the person that you don't expect it from or a situation or when you feel your lowest moment that this kiss can somehow save you from your despair.
Well, interestingly, when I asked my daughter the same question, she talked about a kiss that did not happen because she loved the movie Help, and she wanted Paul McCartney to kiss that pretty lady in all of her kooky 60s clothes, and the kiss never happened. And she watched the movie over and over again, maybe each time, hoping that this time they would kiss, but they never did.
Maybe on some DVD extra down the line.
One could only
the director's cut. It's on that. Well, and the flip side of that is if you're with a group of boys or you're with a group of girls and you all think that kissing is icky and the opposite sex is icky, right? There's always one. That's the other story from the viewer's point of view. The one member of the group who, when you all went to see Spartacus, and all you wanted to see was blood and gore and heads rolling off and chariots, and then at some point, you know, Kirk Douglas will have to inevitably kiss some woman in Roman attire, and one of the group goes, uh-oh.
Was that by any chance you?
Well, it and I couldn't admit it. It's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Time for a popcorn break.
So that happens too.
And also because sometimes, I mean, you always go to a movie and you don't particularly care for the actors or you don't particularly care for the story. It's like, please don't kiss, please.
Don't kiss, right.
Well, but also, I mean, keep in mind, I mean, throughout the majority of the history of Hollywood until fairly recently, so obviously all relationships that were romantic were heterosexual that were overtly acknowledged, at least on screen. And the studios basically mandated romance. I mean, war movies, a subject that I'm writing about and that I've taught about. I mean, even in war movies, often, you know, they figured out a way to get a woman in there in some role so there could be some kind of romantic interest. So the idea was always that you needed that kind of energy in order to make your picture fly.
And I guess the reason I didn't care about the kisses in those contemporary movies was because, frankly, in the Roman movie, they could put her in skimpier clothing, you know, which was something. And Hollywood figured this out, too. It wasn't just the guys and the young women who are going and then coming of age watching these. But Hollywood itself, at a certain point, decided to reflect just that kind of awkwardness.
This is Beth Babington from Burlington, North Carolina. Well, it's not the best kiss. And it's not the most romantic kiss, but it's a wonderful first kiss. And it's between the young characters, Susie and Sam, in Wes Anderson's Moonrise Kingdom. You know, I think like good first kisses, it takes a while for its development. It's awkward and sweet, and it takes guts. And, of course, other than the fact that they're in their underwear on a beach, it's really very realistic. The boy is in love with the girl, but she's the one that initiates the kiss. It kind of reminded me of my own first kiss.
I got sand in my mouth. Can you French kiss?
I think so. Is there any secret to it?
The tongue touches each other.
Okay, let's try it.
Give it a go, shall we? Now, that film came out in 2012.
So. Right. Yeah. And I mean, and that's one of those scenes where, you know, part of the ingenuity of it is the innocence of these characters, even though they belie a certain kind of sophistication, actually. And I think you see that in a lot of these, especially the youth screen kisses. I mean, that has been pushed in terms of the boundaries by things like Kids and other films that have tried to explore kind of younger children, young adult sexuality, but this is certainly a very kind of innocent moment.
And people in real life may have more of the experience of awkward kissing than they do of grand romantic kissing. And you certainly see in the current trend of people having these elaborate like proposal things that they stage for people, you know, that desire for the Hollywood moment and then the Hollywood kiss at the end of it. I guess if the girl accepts the proposal.
Yeah, I would say in life there's very few Gone with the Wind style kisses. There's probably a lot more Moonrise Kingdom kisses.
A lot of Sandy smooching going on in America today. Laura, tell us about your favorite on-screen kiss. It's from Doom 2.
Yes, I love Bollywood movies, as I've mentioned before, and Bollywood movies forbade kissing on the screen, so there was an elaborate sort of symbolic way of portraying kissing and romantic and intimate relationships lots of times through music. But as Western culture has become more and more influential in Bollywood films, kissing started to infiltrate the old formulas. And the scene that we're going to play is Doom 2. It's an action movie. Two super thieves have just had a test of their, you know, loyalty and trust of one another. But it was the first time that I recalled that two A-list actors, Hrithik Roshan and Aishwarya Rai, kissed on screen. And sitting in the Galaxy Theater in Cary, North Carolina, the late lamented Galaxy, a gasp went up from the audience. People covered their eyes. It was such an intimate moment that had never been seen on the screen before, and it sent an electric current through the entire theater.
I love you.
उसे तुम ले कैसे सकती हो?
I hate you.
I know.
Hey, quit singing, they're kissing.
And just to be clear, that's 2006 film. Wow. So this is a fairly recent.
Very, very recent, yes.
And a lot of the Bollywood films, I haven't seen as many as Laura by far, but, you know, all of that romance is displaced in dancing numbers and singing, and so you have this very, sometimes even suggestive, but very distant. There's not that physical contact and intimacy, so.
When you're seeing a dance number and the hero takes the heroine's necklace and breaks her strand of pearls and they fall on the ground. It's like,
I'm blushing. I'm blushing.
Right, exactly.
This is embarrassing.
Everybody knows. Well, let's wrap up another with a romantic kiss that one of our listeners suggested.
I'm Mark Richards from Cary, North Carolina. And the movie kiss that I remember most is from The Last of the Mohicans. Hawkeye comes striding in with a very determined look on his face and he spots his love, Cora, played by Madeline Stowe, and he just walks in and they just start kissing, and there's a real dramatic score, and the passion in the kiss just keeps increasing. And at first it was like, wow, and then it was like, whoa, it just keeps on going and going.
Go from wow to whoa.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this would be the shirtless, long-haired Daniel Day-Lewis that was bestowing this kiss. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as the listener pointed out, that question of music is so key here. I mean, it's been interesting just to listen to these clips because you feel the kiss happening even if you don't hear. We've heard a little smacking, but not a lot of smacking. What we've heard more is these kind of building romantic notes that signal what's happening on screen.
Because the sound of kissing perhaps is not all that enticing.
No, I can't imagine.
No, but then the question is, do you really hear music when you're doing it? But then the question that came to my mind just as I was listening, because there is a difference, and when do you kiss to violins and when do you kiss to a cello? I mean, there are these deep swells, mm-hmm. you know, that are getting in the movie Notorious, for instance, and then these sharp stings that we can hear in E.T. and other films of the violins at a very, very high pitch, the highest range.
And I'm actually a little distressed that the Inside Daisy Clover kiss had danger music behind it.
Right. So. Well, there was a little bit, I mean, in that Doom clip, there was that boom, boom kind of,
right.
You know,
right. Well,
kind
that's
of scary music.
That's the
that
action
happened.
Movie thing.
We're
going
creeping
on.
In. Yeah. But I guess that's always the competing tension, though. It depends upon the context. And again, if it's going to be played kind of comedically or within the context of a thriller where there's a 2-second kiss followed by, you know, gunfire and fleeing, and there's all of these different.
Or, you know, one kiss that hasn't been mentioned is the kiss between Luke and Leia in the first Star Wars
yes.
movie, which then reverberated throughout the entire series mm-hmm. of films.
Oh, yeah.
And that was definitely the kiss before the action. Union moment.
Right.
But the kiss, but the music does color. I mean, a kiss is just a kiss without the music in a lot of ways, in the way that it colors it. Speaking of a kiss is just a kiss,
yeah.
Casablanca will be done with live music.
Yeah. So this this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the Symphony, North Carolina Symphony at Mimondi will be doing one of their fantastic combinations where they will screen the film and then be playing the music live. And this is a Max Steiner score that is just absolutely phenomenal. And of course, Bogart and Bergman.
Good film. Good kisses.
Yes. And for Valentine's Day at the North Carolina Museum of Art, I'm going to be showing a pirate movie, Frenchman's Creek, which was originally written by Daphne du Maurier, in which a bored wife puts on breeches and runs away with a pirate for a little sexy time in his cabin. It's probably one of the very few feminist pirates movies. So
I like the way Laura is selling this. Sounds so tawdry.
Thank you both very much. Marcia Gordon, film professor at North Carolina State University, Laura Boyes, film curator at the North Carolina Museum of Art. Thanks so much, as always.
Thank you.
You can find out more about the films they talked about and the films we talked about at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Our intern, Jess Clark, Robin Copley, the technical director, Brett Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.